Let's pause it all this.
Woo! Put Scooter on the phone, you bird brain.
What do you do? Backflips? You jump up there in a silly suit? What do you do?
You go bam! I want you to play that.
All right. Good afternoon. Good evening, everybody. Fast Freddy here, coming to you from the Youngstown Studios here in downtown Youngstown, state-of-the-art Youngstown Studio. And with me is Joe Danier. And tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about rock and roll. And I don't know if it's the meds. I don't know if it's a mini stroke. I'm not really quite sure what it is. You know what would help me, though? An espresso and some kind of alcoholic beverage. Yes. Maybe I'm having a chemical imbalance. Not enough caffeine and not enough alcohol. I don't
espresso
have...
Espresso and some Buffalo Trace, perhaps?
Hey, whatever you think, man. It's your pick. Anyways, good to be back here. And last week, we had the United Way Bass Classic. You know, we had the guys down here from the United Way. We had Jack Waltz. We had Rick Henniger. And from Fish and Field Report and the Bass Classic, we had an excellent day, and I finished probably middle of the pack. Me and my teammate Mike Clendenin, we finished in the middle of the pack. I only caught one, but I caught one nice one. I caught a real nice 4-pound largemouth there on Evans Lake, and my son and his teammate, Bass Pro. Destin Demarian, who is also, who works for DuraEdge, fishes for DuraEdge. Those guys finished fifth, and everybody was just like, the competition was so stiff. It was like, you know, you missed one fish and that fish could have been the money fish and anybody could have won it. And, Rick and his partner did pretty good too from Fish and Field Report. So, we had a great time, man. It is one of those fantastic events that I'm glad that I'm a part of, and I get a chance to go out and be there. And it's just a great event, and I look forward to it every year. So for all the fishermen that came out and all our sponsors, and we definitely helped out the United Way, and they do such a great job too for putting that on. So thank you, everybody. And then Sunday, my son and me went up to Ashtabula, and we were doing some Lake Erie smallmouth fishing. That is the most fun fishing of all. I mean, you know, people I know, they like to go up the Lake Erie and get those walleyes and stock up their coolers and get those big fish. But there's nothing more fun than wrestling a 4-pound smallmouth bass, a 5-pound smallmouth bass. And I hate to keep talking about it because the fishing is so good. I don't want everybody and their brother to know about it. It was just a great day up on the big lake, and it was a lot of fun. I can't believe the weekend's here already. You know, I have been on the go since Memorial Day started, and I have not stopped. I have just been going and going and going and going. I need a rest, man. I need a little break. I got to catch my breath here at some point.
What's the next plan outage? Got to have a respite.
Well, let's see. The next thing that I got going on, Tuesday night, Ice House. Tuesday night, I got bike night at the Ice House. Wednesday night, I got bike night out at Yankee Lake. And then Thursday, I'll have bike night at Quaker Steak and Lube in Austin Town. So those are the three bike nights that I got coming up next week. And then what? Next weekend's Father's Day already? Man, I can't believe it. And then we're already looking at 4th of July. I'm already looking at stuff and I'm going, wait a minute, that's 4th of July.
That's like months away, right?
Yeah, <Nope. laughs> no. Let's talk about weeks away, weeks away.
All right, we got some beverage here. Some assembly required.
We've okay.
Buffalo Trace, and we've got your coffee. All right, choosing to do the shot first.
I'm just taking a little taste. All right. A little dust. What do they call that? A dust cutter.
All right, dust cutter.
And boy, that is some good stuff there. It is. That's really good.
Smooth.
But the espresso, man, that's what I need. Intravenously. Intravenously. But that's what's been going on. And we got Father's Day coming up. Father's Day weekend on Y103, we're going to do like a Led Zeppelin weekend. We got this thing now where you could pick the songs. You vote for the songs and we play them back.
Nice.
And so twice an hour, you know, you just go on our website and that's my favorite song. And then it tallies them up and then they plays them back.
That's cool.
So if it sucks, it's on you. I have nothing to do with it. You picked them. You listen to them. Get on there and get all your friends.
So what if you get a group that like just plays Britney Spears and votes for Britney Spears? Can they totally throw?
No. You can only pick from that. Right. Yeah. No. We at least took care of that. But sometimes you can see some people stack the vote every once in a while for some songs. But it's a really cool little thing that we got going on now that we use once in a while. So we're going to break it out Father's Day weekend and do a Led Zeppelin. You pick them, we play them weekend. So coming up tomorrow down at the Robbins Theater in downtown Warren, and I can't say enough nice things about the Robbins Theater. The money they put into that and the renovations that they did, it's unbelievable. It is the perfect place to go see a concert. All the seats are really good. The drink prices are reasonable. They don't soak you on drinks. And the shows have been really good. So far this year, I went to see Don Felder from the Eagles, and that was really good. Ace Frehley, formerly of Kiss, and Ace just tore it up. Devin Allman and Samantha Fish were really good. And what was the one I just went to the other day? Buddy Guy was good. Kenny Wayne Shepherd with Blue on Black, he put on a great show. Oh, and the Michael Stanley tribute. The Michael Stanley tribute was really good. The only thing I was disappointed about that is that they didn't include the Youngstown guys in that tribute. You know, Danny Pecchio wasn't there. Michael Gismondi wasn't there. Gary Markowski wasn't there. And not to take away from anything with the tribute, and everybody loved it, but I kind of thought that the guys that were there in the Michael Stanley band, when they were at their absolute peak, should have been on that stage, especially in their hometown. That's just me. Because I figure, you know, and they had the one kid, Michael Weber. He's an excellent guitar player, young guy, very talented, up and coming. But when they did like Baby If You Want to Dance, I'm thinking, you know, it's not the same without Gary that worked with, you know, the legendary record producer Mutt Lange, who was responsible for AC/DC and Def Leppard and a bunch of other people. And you know, he did all the work on that and got that sound just right. So I thought he should have been on stage for that. So not to take away anything from anybody, but that's just my two cents and I wanted to throw in about that. So getting back to the Robbins Theater, that's where we were heading. First let me say hi to everybody. I got to say hi to Elizabeth. She's rolling in. I'm on her big screen. Wow. Look out. You don't want that. The smaller the screen, you know, the better. Barb Fox checking in. How you doing, Barb? And Jerry says, I still owe him a beer for his birthday. Do you know how many people I owe beers for their birthdays and drinks and, you know. And Dave Price checking in. What's up, Dave? How are you, my man? And Big Mama, Ethel Booth in the house. Big Mama, what's up? Big Mama is such a trip. You know, we've had a lot of fun with her over the years. And, you know, it's good to see her. She just got back from Florida not too long ago, and it looked like she was having a blast. All right. Anyways, getting back to Robbins Theater. That's where I started. See, that's the beauty of this podcast. It's just free flow. It goes anywhere. You know, when I'm on the radio, you know, you got the set time and you got to say it exactly and get it in and keep the timing going. But here I just ramble and meander and wherever it goes. And I haven't even really started hitting the Buffalo Trace yet. So with that being said, we had, Robbins Theater. They have this meatloaf. Hey, Y103 Theater Friday night. And if you're a meatloaf fan, this is something that you really want to check out. This show is going to be fantastic. And this isn't like a tribute band where people get together and say, oh, we're going to do a tribute to Meatloaf. And, you know, they go out and do it or whatever. I mean, these are actual members of Meatloaf's band, and they are doing this with Meatloaf's blessing as well. So I'm going to, we are going to turn it over now to Caleb, did I have a stroke? Caleb Johnson.
Buffalo Trace.
Yeah, there we go. Woo-hoo. Yeah, that's what I need, more Elky Hall. Caleb Johnson, who was the winner of American Idol, on season 13, and he's a heck of a singer. And also Meat Loaf's band director, Paul Crooks, who's a guitar player. And, you know, he's been with Meat Loaf for years, and they're going to explain everything that's going on. And if you are a Meat Loaf fan, this is definitely a show that you are going to want to see at Robin's Theater tomorrow night. So let's check in with these guys. Hey, Y103, Fast Freddy here, and coming up Friday night at Robin's Theater in downtown Warren, we've got a great show. The coming to town is Bat, and Bat is an awesome tribute to Meat Loaf, and with me right now are two of the guys that are involved in this whole show, Paul Crook and Caleb Johnson. Guys, welcome to the show. What's going on, man?
Thanks for having us, buddy.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So tell us a little bit about Bat and how this whole project got together and some of the talented people that everybody's going to see on stage tomorrow night at Robin's Theater.
Great. Well, thank you for the question. The show itself came about. What happened was we were in Edmonton, Canada in 2016, and Meat Loaf passed out on stage. And he never actually recovered from that pass out. We ended up canceling an 18-month tour that was already booked and on sale. He said to me, "Hey, Paul, give me 4 months. I'm Meat Loaf's music director." I said, "Okay, boss." 4 months passed and still nothing. He's not feeling well. Then we get into 8 months now, and I'm thinking, "Oh my God, Meat's going through back surgery and I'm losing the band. You know, everybody's scrambling for work." So I panicked. I said, "You know what? I got to do something here." So I called Meat and I said, Hey, boss, I'm putting the band together. We're going to go out. I'm going to find a singer. And we're just going to keep it oiled for you so that you can step in anytime you want." And luckily, we found Kayla Johnson, who won American Idol season 13. And he is the, I can't think of a better person for this position. He's a true Southern gentleman with a huge voice. And he's actually my favorite singer on the planet right now. I'm not even saying that. When he was on American Idol, watching him, I remember saying to myself, "I got to work with this guy." I'm not kidding. I'm honest when I say that. And here we are. And the beauty of this is that, that's even a word. It's kind of weird. I'm going to put it on the plate for you here. We did this. We started this over 3 years ago. So we're not trying to capitalize on the boss's passing.
Right.
He gave us a blessing. He loved Caleb. And we actually did a show on the Michael Huckabee show, TV, that Caleb, joined us.
Yeah.
So he's actually performed with Meat Loaf as well. And that's pretty much it in a nutshell. What we do for the show, we do the entire Bat of Hell album. We from front to back, which nobody does. Nobody can except us. That's
yeah.
how good we are.
Right.
And
right.
then we do, we do some really great, powerful songs off of Bat of the Hell 2. And we have some covers at the end. And that takes us to a full, hour and a half, hour 35 minutes,
So when you're looking at this show, this has like legitimate ties to Meat Loaf. You guys have legitimate ties to Meat Loaf, and it's endorsed by Meat Loaf himself.
Well, thank you for that. We're Meat's band. Our drummer, John Michelli, has been with Meat Loaf since 1992. I was with Meat Loaf for almost 22 years. The other guitar player, Randy, was with Meat Loaf for 20 years. And our female featured vocalist started with Meat Loaf in 2014.
See, I think that's important to get out there, too. This isn't like some guys that just, "Hey, we do this on the weekend. We're throwing together a little Meat Loaf tribute," or that sort of thing. You guys are all the real deal and have played with Meat Loaf and are part of his band. So I think that is really cool.
Yeah, right on, Freddie. Yeah, so again, thank you for that. It's not a tribute. It's a celebration. Because you really can't tribute yourself if we're playing songs that we've performed and recorded with Meat Loaf himself.
Now, what do you think is the reason behind Meatloaf's popularity? What do you think it is about this music and Bat Out of Hell that made this album so great? What do you think is the driving force behind Meat's music and that people have still loved it over all these years?
Jim Steinman. That's it. Jim wrote all the songs. And without Jim Steinman, Meat doesn't happen. And without Meatloaf, Jim Steinman doesn't happen. They're made for each other, and they have their own sound. You know, Jim Steinman called it Wagnerian. I would just say Wagnerian. How would you say that? Wagnerian rock. You know, that was Jim's term. Wagnerian rock. You know?
Right.
Fantastic. You know, the big power ballad, right? He was the king of the power ballad.
And it's pretty cool how all that came together and, you know, with the connection with Cleveland International Records. And so
yeah,
Northeast
man, right
Ohio.
Yeah, right in your state.
Yeah, Northeast yeah. Ohio played a big part in this. And then, of course, you had Todd Rundgren involved, and you had so many yeah. great musicians on that album. That thing just exploded. And like you say, there's nothing out there that sounds like that. It is completely original, and it's just Meatloaf's music is Meatloaf's music.
Yeah, you know, speaking of Cleveland, you know, Steve Popovich, he was the only one that believed in Meat and Jim because they shopped Bat Out of Hell to every label and it got turned down several times. They couldn't figure out how to capture the songs in demo form. So they actually went into each radio station, I'm sorry, each record building and sang live in the office. And that's how they actually got signed finally.
Right, right. Yeah, I know Steve was, big with a lot of the, you know, bands around here, too, like, you know, well, Southside Johnny and Joe Grushecki out of Pittsburgh and a lot of these other guys. So, yeah, Cleveland International was pretty unique. And then being in Cleveland where when the rock and roll scene was just bursting, you know, with WMMS and, you know, every band in the world was breaking out of Cleveland at the time. So having those Cleveland ties, I think, helped out a little bit, too.
You know, it's amazing, too, yeah, is that, you know, it was an independent label. And you were talking about one of the biggest records of all time off of an independent label. That's an incredible accomplishment.
Oh, it is. It's an amazing feat. It's an amazing feat. And I'm glad that, Northeast Ohio, you know, played a part in that whole thing. I think that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So, what were some of your favorite shows that you played over the years? Are there any like really memorable shows or, you know, maybe sure. something that you were a part of that you still think like, wow, that really kicks
yeah,
some ass.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 2004, we did the Prince's Trust concert, Hyde Park in London. And we had about 200,000 people there. And wow. I remember walking out on stage and it sounded like a hairdryer. You know, with the sound of the fans, wow, it was insane. I never experienced that before.
That had to be crazy, man.
Yeah, that was the biggest show I've ever done with the Boss. But we've had some incredible shows. Like one comes to mind is Royal Albert Hall in the UK. You know, playing that was incredible. Let me see what else. You know, stateside. You know, playing in Manhattan. You know, Madison Square Garden. Things like that are just mind blowing for me.
Right, right. You know, Madison Square Garden, whether you're talking about sports, whether you're talking about music, whether you're talking about boxing, pro wrestling, Madison Square Garden has this mystique all of its own. What was your impression of the Madison Square Garden mystique?
Well, you know, I'm from the New York area. So, that's the arena, right? That's what we all think about, you know. That's where I saw my first concert. I saw Kiss 79 Dynasty tour there, you know, 13 years old, you know, it's great. Yeah. You know, so, you know, just walking, we actually did, I should have been a little more detailed than that. We did the theater at Madison Square Garden. We didn't do the arena,
uh-huh.
The arena, but Meat has done the arena a few times. But that was before my time.
Right.
That being said, me being in the building at Madison Square Garden, it was at the Felt Forum. I used to be called the Felt Forum. Mind blowing for me, just walking into the building, you know, driving into the city, you know, pulling up to the arena. Just mind blowing for me.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah. When you think of all the historic events that have taken place in that place, and just to be in there and to be on the stage in that building, that had to be a rush, yeah. Especially for somebody from New York. Caleb, let me ask you a couple questions. Now, you were on season 13 of American Idol. What was that whole experience like for you?
Yeah, that was an incredible experience. That, you know, literally changed my life overnight. And so it was just a whirlwind of music and performances and stress. And it was just a blast. It was just a total, absolute blast. And, you know, I'm forever grateful for that show because it gave me a platform to, you know, showcase my talent on a national level. And, you know, I'm getting to work with Paul and all that good stuff, you know, because of that, because Paul, you know, saw me on Idol. And, you know, I've gotten to I'm on my third record now. I just released a record last year, a solo record called Mountain Mojo Volume 1 that we recorded in Nashville, Tennessee with Jake Bonham, who's the son of, you know, legendary rock drummer John Bonham from Led Zeppelin. And, you know, it was mixed by Vance Powell, who's won like 20 Grammys, and it was mixed all of Chris Stapleton stuff and Jack White stuff. And it's just amazing, man. I'm very lucky and very fortunate to get to work with some incredibly talented musicians and artists. And, you know, I owe it to American Idol.
That is really cool. Now, what was the whole process like? Now, you were singing around your hometown, I would imagine, and in a band, and people said, hey, you sound pretty good. You should go on that show. And then how did it happen from there? Obviously, you went to an audition or something, and then how did it happen?
I mean, that you basically just kind of wrote the story. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And I actually auditioned three times, and the first two times I didn't make it onto the live shows, which was the live audience voting segment of the show. So I made it kind of to the rounds right before that round.
Yeah.
And this is the third time, and then, you know, subsequently won it. And that's all she wrote.
And then was it a grueling competition? I mean, now how did that whole thing go about, and having to come back and continue on with the competition? What was that whole process like?
Yeah, it was definitely grueling. I mean, you're singing around the clock, and, you know, you're doing basically 7 days a week, 7 days a week, you know, 13-hour days. So it was definitely a huge workload. But on the back end of that, it was amazing because you're getting to do what you love. So it didn't really feel like work, you know. So
yeah,
I think that's the beautiful thing, is that when you get to do what you love for a living, that's a beautiful thing. So that really kind of didn't affect me in the sense that I felt like I was working. So there was a lot of time and energy involved, but it was good. It was the good stuff.
Now, what was the, were there any misconceptions or things that surprised you once you got in the process? Maybe you see the show on TV, but then once you become a part of it, was there something that surprised you, or something that you had a misconception about, or, you know, what was that like?
Great question. A lot of people you see on TV are very small and short. On TV, they look very tall. Like Ryan Seacrest is very short. The actual TV studio that we filmed in was like a box. On TV, it looks like you're in this massive arena room, yeah, but it really only holds about 200 people.
Oh.
So it's all an illusion.
That's crazy. That's crazy. But winning that and being on that show really changed your life. It was changed everything for you.
Yeah. I've gotten to do arena tours with Kiss, and I'm from the multi-platinum arena rock progressive metal group Christmas rock opera Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Yep.
And getting to do the stuff with that with Paul, and getting to do my own stuff. So yeah, it's been a pretty awesome time.
Well, that is really crazy.
Such a pain in my butt, dude. I hate Paul.
He works you too hard. That's what it is, man. He's a slave driver. He's working you too hard.
Yeah. You know what? You know, Freddie, I will say this, and I'm sure Caleb will agree here. The songs are incredibly challenging. And I'm so grateful to have such beautiful music to play. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, we look at the set list every night, and yeah, as we're playing the songs, we're going, holy crap. Look at that. You know, Bad as Hell. Took the words right out of my mouth. Two out of three ain't bad. Tired by the Dashboard Light. I would do anything for love. Such incredible songs.
It's an amazing album. It's an amazing album. Well, it is going to be a great show. And the thing that I do want to get out to everybody is this isn't just like, you know, a bunch of guys putting together a tribute band or something. This is a celebration of Meat Loaf. And this is from people that are a part of it and that have played with Meat Loaf and have been on stage with Meat Loaf and have worked with Meat Loaf for years. So this isn't just somebody throwing something together and, you know, trying to hit the road.
That's exactly right, Freddie. And also, we have a front man that Meat Loaf loved and gave the blessing to.
I mean, what more could you ask for? It's going to be a great night.
Yeah, thank you, Paul Crooks, and also Paul Crook and Caleb Johnson. And they're going to be a part of the Bat tribute to Meat Loaf. And this is the real deal, man. This is his band. These are, you know, guys that played with Meat Loaf. This band is endorsed by Meat Loaf. And it's going to be a great show. So one of the greatest albums of all times, Bat Out of Hell. So get out there and check it out tomorrow night at Robin's Theater in downtown Warren. Great place to see a show. So that's what we have going on. So what else is going on with you, man? What do you got coming up?
It's about traveling season, but fuel prices are a little on the high side, man. You know, so I'm contemplating a little less driving around and more staying put.
Yeah. I'll tell you, this is probably a good time for airlines and also the Amtrak and stuff. They got to be booming.
Oh, heck yeah.
And the airlines haven't really, like Allegiant hasn't really jacked their prices up right now. Yeah. I think they're doing more volume. I think they're able to cover it with the volume. You got to be driving. You got to be flying more, right? Ooh, you got to be using all that stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you double up travel costs for driving around and people don't travel that way as much. So.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's see who's checking in. Sap Dog, my man Sap Doggy Dog, still waiting for his beer too. Sap, he's one of them guys, you know, if we're handing out, if it's for free, it's for me. That's Sap. He's in there.
Do you ever just get like a forgiveness day where all those owed beers just go away?
No, they never do.
Nope, just hold it over your head for life.
Yeah, Jay Bird's checking in again today. And, you know, you'd think I had enough of those guys as it is, you know, every day at bike night and everything, but no,
they can't get enough.
No. So let me take a little sip of the espresso.
You're also going to probably see motorcycles being the preferred method of transport too. Would think. So it's going to be booming as well.
If we ever get a day when it doesn't rain, if we ever get it, you know, I'm really concerned about our climate. A lot of people say, oh, it's a bunch of baloney or whatever. But now when I look back with my, you know, with Facebook and memories, and I am seeing more and more things over the years that have been consistently rained out.
Yep.
I mean, it's like we go into a rainy season now. We had no spring whatsoever. You know, the weather sucked right from Halloween. It started getting bad at Halloween, and we haven't had nice weather, anything to really speak about. Until, you know, today the sun's out, but it's still not a sunny summer day,
right?
You know, like, yeah, you know, this is a
always
nice a spring
rain.
Day. And you're always, you know, even last night, we were down at the lube in Sharon. And sure enough, by the end of the night, people were putting on their rain gear and had it. Oh, and then that storm hit. How about that storm that hit last night?
Yeah.
I mean, it was bad. I was driving down 80. I was hydroplaning. People were hydroplaning left and right, and the lightning. And it's just like, can't we have one day without a storm? Can we? And it's been tough for the bike nights too. You know, you get a night like last night and people might be coming from a distance or whatever, and they're saying, I'm not going out. And I think some people are a little more pussified this year. And even if it's like breezy and cloudy and not 80 degrees and sunny, they're kind of, I don't know.
Well, right after COVID, everybody went out and just did everything. And then they recoiled a little bit and stepped back and they're more at home now. It's so weird.
Yeah, it is. It is. But we got to get back out there. You know, the concert season is up and running. There's a ton of great shows. We're back up to full speed on that. And there's so many great concerts coming up. And, you know, we got a lot of great motorcycle activities coming up. Oh, I did go to Ohio Bike Week, Memorial Day weekend.
How was it?
It was Memorial Day weekend isn't the big weekend. The following weekend, like this past weekend, it was just off the hook. But they got a good thing going up there in Sandusky, man. You know, they have the party right on the lakefront and then downtown. And it's a lot of fun. And
I was wondering if places like Sandusky and Presque Isle and all those party places, you know, bounce back after.
Yeah.
It's been kind of quiet the last couple of times.
Yeah, I think Put-in-Bay is back up and running.
Okay.
And
That's where I got to get. I got to get to Put in Bay. I have not been to Put in Bay in years. And we used to take a bus up there every year. And it was just insane. It was complete insanity. And everybody wanted to be on that bus, man. And it seemed like there was no rules and regulations whatsoever on that bus. It was like, once you got into that, once you got into Freddie and Chrissy Patrick world, it was like, you know, anything goes. I'm just glad that there wasn't video cameras back then.
Yes, right.
You know, you could capture a lot of memories, but man, back then, I think some people would have been in some big trouble.
For sure.
You know,
some blackmailing happened. Not just the beers, right?
anything, you know, it could have been pretty wild, or, yeah, you know, caused some problems for some people. I don't know. You know, that's one thing I don't like about the constant surveillance and everywhere you go. And that pretty much killed the wet t-shirt contest in a lot of ways. But well, remember when Catherine Bosley was in that? She was a news reporter, right, and she was down in Key West having a little bit of fun. And next thing you know, they're crucifying her for, you know, being in a wet t-shirt contest.
Think of how many cameras and how much live streaming there would be from one of those. And it would be,
oh yeah. You know what? And people don't want to do that now. Right. That's why the wet t-shirt contests aren't like what they used to be. Or, you know, women would go out there and just flash the flash and you know, who's going to know? We're down in Key West. We're in Put in Bay. Now it's like you do these wet t-shirt contests. Everybody's Facebook Live and, you know, and they're right up in front of the stage, myself included, I have to admit, especially in Daytona. But, you know, I think that has also put a damper on a lot of fun stuff. You know, you can't go out and, you know, or if you misspeak.
What if you did an event and you banned cell phones from coming in through the gate? Would that be the way to do it?
That would be the way to do it.
Electronic free crowd.
Yes, yes.
Because it's annoying as hell to be in a crowd and watch all those screens in front of you. I hate that.
Yeah, see, I really don't have a problem with that. I remember when the Foo Fighters played up at Record Connection. And it was 150 people, and people that weren't there were just saying, oh, all these assholes sitting there, put your camera down and watch the show and watch them play.
Well, listen, I'm 5'2", so you're already taller than me. Now you got a screen up there. Come on, man.
Well, I look at it this way. I think you want to capture that moment. I think now it's you can remember it. You have memories, but I just think there's something about when you have that on your phone and 5 years from now and those pictures come up, or a little video clip, and you're sitting there going, damn, yeah. You know, I think we're preserving these cool memories in time. That's how I look at it. I think it's great that you could do that and have that memory, and that you could show your friends and everybody could see it. Okay. Hey, I wasn't able to get there, but man, that's cool. Now I see what it looks like. At least I got an idea of what was happening. But, you know, I think the mystique of a lot of things is gone. I don't even think mystique is a word anymore. You know, there's no such thing as a mystique anymore. Or if you have one, it's very hard to keep, you know. And I think that's one of the things about Bob Dylan has always been his mystique and how he's, you know, mysterious and he's, you know, what's he thinking and what's he doing? And, you know, you know, you want people to wonder, you want people to think, and then if they do find out something about you, then they're kind of like, oh, I didn't know that.
Just don't have the attention spans for it.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, we just have zero privacy anymore. Yep. Zero.
Question is, can we get bikes over on the island? Do they have the ferry for cars and bikes?
Yeah. Now? You know what though? It's kind of crazy because it's so expensive to take a bike over. And then you have to leave at a certain time or whatever. Probably the best thing is to park the bike over there by the ferry. Some people don't like to leave their bike over there and then go on to Put in Bay all day. But probably the best idea is, you know, they have a little bike parking there. Park your bike, go on the ferry. And this way you're not, you know, you don't have to go through the hassle of a reservation. And then you got to be back on the boat at this time. Yeah. And, you know.
End your night early.
Because that's the last time we were taking bikes over and stuff like that. Let's see. Brian says, I don't want cameras
at most parties.
Yeah, I know that, Brian. You know, I've been to a few.
Been lucky there wasn't.
I mean, I think there's something to be said about a lack of privacy, but I think people are getting so used to it now. It's almost like just a way of life, you know, which I'm not that big of a fan of, you know, but That's the way it is.
Yeah. You know who's really been killing it lately are the Vindies. Like, their social media is blowing up. They are playing huge venues now.
Yeah, they're the hottest band out there. And every time I interview somebody that is, you know, when I talk to Donnie Iris, when I talk to Tommy Dobek from Michael Stanley, I mean, everybody's high on the Vindies.
For sure.
And they are so good. They are so good. And that Jackie can sing so well, mm-hmm. and they just have that sound and they have that look. And I got to get them in here, you know, sure. And they said, we're coming in, you know, you got to tell me, and I'm going to mess it up. And then they're going to be in a big time. And
you know, celebrities.
Right.
To come into town.
Nah, they've been on all these other different podcasts. I tell them all the time. I go, you guys been on every podcast. Everybody that has an interview show you've been on. And, you know, except mine. Where's the love? But no, they're more than willing to come on. It's just me getting it together and making it happen.
Yep.
But, so that's what's going on with that. But the Vindies are ready to break big time. They're going to be the next big band out of here. And coming up, we're going to get Gary Ramey on from Peppermint Productions. Nice. And I heard him briefly with Rivers today. And, you know, I think he'll do a better job with us. You know, since I know so much about Peppermint Production, more, you know, work with
a
lot of the bands.
He's such a cool guy. Seen a lot of shit. That's for sure.
Yes. we were talking yesterday because he was at the station getting some audio clips and stuff ready. And, you know, he's ready to go. But I mean, you know, anybody that recorded anything in this town for the past, you know, 50 years at least has gone through Peppermint Productions.
Sure.
And a lot of people that went on the big stuff and the big time have been through there. And it was just a great place. And I had a chance to hang out there when I was young. And we got into that with Ace Acker from A Law and stuff like that. But yeah, when he comes in, we'll go through that whole story again about, you know, just being there and, you know, being at a young age and then, you know, I was so enamored by the whole scene, the whole rock scene, you know, and all that stuff, Woodstock and everything. And next thing you know, I'm in this party. I must have been 13, 14. And I'm in this party there, Peppermint Productions, with all these people that look like they stepped directly out of, you know,
off the album cover.
Right. And it's just all these crazy people, and they all look like, you know, David Crosby with the big mutton chops, and people with the buckskin jackets back in the day and bell bottoms. And people that looked like Eric Clapton from Cream and that period and stuff. And I'm just standing there right in the middle of it, and the band is playing. And it was just, and then that just kind of swept me away from there. You know, I mean, that just pushed me right over the top.
You were in awe.
Yeah. And it was like, I can't believe I'm standing here at this, you know, in this recording studio, and the band's playing, and, you know, all these guys look like these hippies and these freaks, and I'm loving it. And yeah, it was really cool. Hey, Paul Maverick is checking in. What's up, Greek? What it be, Blee? How are you doing? I still got to get down to San Diego and see him, man. He tells me I'm missing out by not being in San Diego. He says it's one of the nicest places on earth. San Diego, California.
You'd get spoiled and you'd never come back. That would lose you.
I would like that. I haven't gotten spoiled in Florida. I'm still here. COVID kind of messed me up on that, you know. And that's what really got me, because, well, you know, Jaybird's that checks in here, him and our other buddy, Vinny, they took a bike ride down to, they went down to Key West, and something happened. I forget if I wasn't feeling well or something happened, I couldn't go. And then that's when I got the call from Y103, and if I was in Key West, I would have probably never answered the phone.
Right.
You know, I would have probably never even answered the phone. It would have been like, hey, I'm in Key West. I'm not answering that phone. Give me a margarita. Holy shit. It's naked people.
Mute.
There's nothing you can say that I want to hear. But I could have been in Key West, and, you know, and things might've changed too, if it wasn't for COVID, you know, because you couldn't travel anywhere. There was no place to find a job. Everybody was working from home. So who knows what I might've found, you know, at that point in time, because I wasn't, you know, sitting there, oh, I'm going to get back on the radio, you know. I was thinking more like, I don't want to work anymore. I'm having too much fun, even though it was COVID.
Waking up whenever I want, whenever I want.
That's right. Riding a motorcycle whenever I want, hitting Lake Erie whenever I want. It really was good, though, man. When I was off, I caught more fish than I ever caught. I was in better shape than I was in a long time. You know, I was walking and stuff every day, and I was hiking and riding my motorcycle and then, you know, doing a fair amount of day drinking and living La Vida Loca in sweatpants. You know, that's always a nice thing, you know, laying on the couch, vying for a career as a contestant on Game Show Network.
Right?
You know, I was practicing, I was practicing on all those shows, you know, but didn't quite pan out that way.
Yeah.
But if I would have rode my motorcycle to Key West, I might have still been in Key West.
Yep.
Or somewhere, but not here. But that's the way it goes. That's the way. I'm looking at some of the stuff in rock history this week, too. This one here was kind of interesting. Well, this isn't rock history, but this is still a good. Well, I guess it's music history. On this date in 1994, Lisa Left Eye Lopes. Remember Left Eye from TLC?
Yes.
First of all, you know what freaks me out? Is that TLC was from 1994.
Wow.
TLC with Waterfalls, yeah. And would they have Scrubs, right. No Scrubs, and no songs. And I'm sitting there going, that was in 1984. I would think like that they're like kind of a current group.
Right.
I would think that TLC was big on the charts 10 years ago.
Right.
And I look there and go, that can't be 1994.
30 years ago.
With the Waterfalls. I'm looking, I'm going, what the hell are they talking about? But anyways, for a while there, she was dating that Andre Rison,
yes,
who played for the Packers, and he played for the Falcons, and he played for the Browns there for a minute or two.
Right.
Anyways, they got into a fight, and she set his shoe on fire. Hmm. And then the shoe ended up burning his, like, $5 million, $8 million mansion to the ground. It burnt to the ground.
The shoe killed the mansion.
Could you believe that? If your girlfriend just burned your mansion to the ground?
That's
an argument. And I think they stuck together too. So obviously he must have been in the wrong.
Yes.
You know?
He deserved it.
Yeah. Obviously he was in the wrong on that one. You know who else celebrated a birthday? Well, he didn't celebrate a birthday anymore. He's done celebrating birthdays. Dean Martin. Dean Martin was born in 1917 in Steubenville. And if you go out to Craig's Beach at Lake Milton, there's a historic plaque because his first time he sang in public, he was 17 years old. And back in the day, Craig's Beach, they used to have an amusement park out there and all kinds of crazy stuff at Lake Milton. And that was the first time he sang in public. And they have a historical marker out there. And then, like, he's had other connections to the Youngstown area. There used to be this gambling place. Like, it was actually like a full-blown casino out in Sharon Line, out by Hubbard there. And, yeah, of course, it was run by the mob. And he either sang there, or he was a card dealer there or something. But there's some kind of urban legend floating around that Dean Martin had something to do with the Jungle Inn. And the Jungle Inn was just like this wide open, you know, it was like the cornerstone of corruption in this area because it was so open and everybody knew about it. And I remember the one thing that all the old timers used to talk about back then is they had guys with machine guns and machine gun nests up above watching everything. Mm. And whenever somebody had mentioned the Jungle Inn, they would always mention Dean Martin and the guys with the machine guns and the machine gun nest. That was always the thing. But it was like a, you know, just a wide open casino that you would find anywhere. And Dean Martin was there at some point as something. And then if you're a fan of The Sopranos, there was that one episode where Paulie Walnuts got arrested in Youngstown and he went to jail in Youngstown. And him and some of his buddies were on their way to Steubenville to find Dean Martin's childhood home.
and they ended up in jail in Youngstown. Somebody had a stolen gun in the car or whatever, but it was all, you know, on The Sopranos, that whole episode with Pauly in jail in Youngstown, and it was revolving around Dean Martin. So, and now, you know, they have the Dean Martin Boulevard there, and but some people are pissed about that, which I think it's cool. I think Dean Martin was one of the coolest guys of all times. He was just, I liked him better than Frank Sinatra. He seemed like he was a nice guy, a guy that you want to hang out with. And to me, Frank Sinatra always seemed like somebody that would have you stuffed into a trunk of a car, exactly, and have somebody put a bullet in your head. Yep. And I thought Dino was more laid back.
He'd be your friend, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You could hang with Dino. Right. And, you know, if you said something to him, I don't think he was going to, you know, you were going to be wearing cement shoes, right, or one of his people would end up beating you up. Right. But so then Dino... Yeah, so he had that whole connection to Youngstown in his early days. And like I say, out of the Rat Pack, I like Dino better than Frank. Although, man, I watched some of these videos of Frank Sinatra singing, and boy, did that guy sing. You know, it was boy, you want to talk about entertainers, though. How about all them guys? I mean, Sammy Davis Jr. and the whole Rat Pack. I mean, mm-hmm, those guys were entertainers.
Yes, they were. And they were cool as hell.
Yep. And they just had that persona. And I mean, they were the shit, so to speak, yep, you know, and they were something. And that's the kind of, you know, my dad, he loved Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra and all that stuff. So I pretty much know that music, and I like it. You know, I didn't grow up hating it. You know, I didn't grow up like, you know, Duke Ellington, Earl Gardner, and, you know, Tony Bennett, and Cab Calloway, and all them guys, you know, Mills Brothers, and just that whole, you know, Tommy Dorsey, all those people, you know, he would play that music constantly, you know. And
I'd love the time machine at one time and just go back for a couple of days to see what it's like. It was a scary time, so I don't think I'd want to live there or spend too much time there, but it's so cool to see.
Yeah, let's see. There was a whole lot of stuff on the list today. Tom Jones's birthday, 1940. Tom Jones, born in 1940. He's what, 82, something like that.
Yeah.
And that guy could still sing. And he's still, the ladies still love him. You know, it looks like he had a lot of plastic surgery. He's got that kind of like, yes, I've had a lot of plastic surgery look, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I guess you could call it the look. But he used to, he was something, man. I mean, that guy could belt out songs. If you go and start looking back at all the people that he sang with, and he was hanging with them all, and all genres. I mean, I saw one where he was singing with Lola Falana. He was singing with... you know, Jackie Wilson Pickett. But then he was singing with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And then he was singing with Janis Joplin. And he was just like, he could hang with them all, you know?
All kind of genres.
Yeah. And he just had that voice. And some people say he was the guy that invented stuffing his pants with a tube sock. You know, I don't know if that's true or not.
He's got it.
I don't know if that's true or not, but you know, but yeah, Tom Jones, man, he could really belt him out. Hey, Sue Babbitt checking in. How are you, Sue? What's up? Yeah, she likes Tom Jones too. What's new, pussy? Oh, no, I should have said, hey, what's new, pussycat, right?
Yeah.
yeah, she's a lady. Not unusual to be loved by anyone, you know. That's some crazy stuff there. And also Prince's birthday was this week.
Oh, nice.
Now there's a guy that was a phenomenal talent.
Yes.
He was about as strange as you could get, but boy, he could really play the guitar, like with hanging with the rock people. And he did that one show, and I think it was for, it had something to do with George Harrison. And at the end, it was like him and Tom Petty and a bunch of guys on stage. And he did that guitar solo to "Well, My Guitar Gently Weeps." And, you know, that was really Eric Clapton that did that for the Beatles. But, I mean, he just blows that away. If you ever want to look it up and see, like, Prince playing guitar, and it's just like, man, this guy's, like, up there with them guys. You know, he could hang with any of them.
Yeah, and he invented his own style.
Like, yeah.
You know, there's very few artists can make something theirs like that, but he did.
Yeah, he was just his own sound, yep, his own, And there's a guy that had a mystique, getting back to the mystique. You know, he was mysterious. He didn't know a lot about Prince. And, you know, he had that mystique. He was private.
He was out there, but he was quiet. Yeah, you know, yes, he pushed boundaries, yeah, but he didn't like make himself a thing, you know?
And then I like listening to some of his interviews and when he talks in that voice and, I don't know. And just some of the stuff that he would say and the answers he would give, a lot like Dylan. Dylan still is a lot like that. But there's some other ones out there that, you know, where you see Prince just playing rock guitar and, you know, as good as anybody out there. And I always hoped that he would do a rock album. That was one of the things that I would have liked about Prince, just to see him do just a balls out, jam, straight ahead. Yep. Here we go. We're just going to, you know, crank it up and I'm going to play rock guitar. And maybe that's what makes the videos though, that he is doing it more special, because he doesn't do it all the time. Right. But yeah, Prince was something else. Another birthday this week, Boz Scaggs. Boz Scaggs was born in Canton, Ohio. A lot of people don't realize it. A lot of people think he's a California dude or whatever. Now, that was an album when it came out, Silk Degrees. And man, when that album come out, it just had that like kind of soul sound, but it was like, you know, Low Down and Lido Shuffle and what a Danger, There's a Breakdown, Dead Ahead, and he just had that smooth sound. But then, you know, yeah, I would still like to see Boz Scaggs. I think he's still out there. I think he was playing with Steve Miller for a while, and you know, I always thought he was a West Coast guy. Turned out he was from Canton. You know,
your musical knowledge though just goes, it blows my mind.
Well, that's all I do. You know, I mean,
there are very few connoisseurs like you out there.
Oh, there's a few. There's a lot. There's some people sometimes I have to, you know, pretend like I know what they're talking about just so I don't seem like a dummy, you know. But you know, Cornell Bogdan's one. There's who I got to get on the show. Yes, Cornell, sure. Bogdan is such a knows so much about music that that would be good. Now, coming up, probably not. Well, next week I'm going to be at the Lube in Austintown for bike night next Thursday. The following Thursday, we're getting our buddy Father Jimmy back, the rock and roll priest. And he has an amazing story. You know, he was
of amazing stories.
And the thing is, we got to try to contain him to get to stay on one amazing story at a time. And he's more like the oldies, you know, he focuses more on the oldies, and we'll have him and another oldies expert, my buddy JT, who dabbles in talk radio and stuff. And I think those two together and with some really cool guests that we're going to have, it's going to be a lot of fun.
For sure.
And, you know, we were supposed to have Bobby Rydell on, and then unfortunately Bobby Rydell passed away, and he was like one of those 60s heartthrobs, and it would have been fun talking to him. And I really like talking to these old guys because they have such great stories. Remember, we were talking to the one of those doo-wop bands out of Philadelphia, and he was friends with Father Jimmy, and you know, they knew Dick Clark and all this stuff, all these people. And this guy was talking about, they had this white doo-wop band. I can't think of the name right now. And they played the Apollo Theater in New York City back in, you know, in the early 60s. And that's when that was like the temple of R&B music.
Right.
That was the spot in Harlem, you know, the Apollo Theater. This is where the soul music was coming from. And they went there the one day and they got on the bill and they performed. And at the end of their show, they said, should we do this James Brown number or not? And then they said, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. Let's just do it. And they do this James Brown number. Well, who's in the audience but James Brown? Soul Brother number one is in there in the audience. Yeah, right. So as soon as they get off stage, who's standing there? James Brown.
Man.
And then the next thing you know, James Brown signs them up and takes them on the road as his opening act. And then these guys were talking about, or this guy was talking about, how it was touring with a black man, because they were all white. These guys are like 17, 18 years old from Philly.
And all of a sudden they're on a bus with the Fabulous Flames playing in Georgia and Alabama and all these places in like 1963.
That's cool.
And boy, those guys have some stories. And that's why I like to talk to these older guys, just to, because somebody's got to preserve these stories too, you know? And that's why I like, we got this all saved and archived, and, you know, because these guys had such phenomenal stories, or traveling with Dick Clark's Cavalcade of Stars, and, you know, getting business tips from Dick Clark. And remember the one guy had the feud with Dick Clark? I forget what band it was, and they were both from Philly. And remember the guy did an oldie show and he didn't have Dick Clark as the MC, and Dick Clark got pissed at him, and they went years with like one of them grumpy old men feuds. And then they finally ran into each other again at some kind of oldie show in Philadelphia, and they buried the hatchet and hugged each other.
30
and,
years later.
I love those stories. Yeah. So I'm sure Father Jimmy will be hooking us up with some more good stories like
those
that.
Those touring stories are amazing. That one band you had where they left the one dude at the gas station and he had to find his way back to the tour bus.
Oh yeah. Yeah. All kinds of crazy stuff, man. I mean, those are just great stories of days gone by and all the fun that they used to have back then. I think bands are still having some fun, but I don't know, to me anymore, the world just doesn't seem like a fun place. It does not seem fun to me. You know, you got to go out and try to find your fun, because it's not just like coming to find you. That's for sure.
Right.
You know, it's just like this, I don't know, this attitude, or, you know, everything, the shootings and war and crime and prices and everything. It's like, you know, everybody just wants to live their life, have a good job, have a fair shake.
Right.
Be healthy, not have to worry about getting shot up and stuff like that. And, you know, it's not really asking too much. And I think everybody has that same goal. I think everybody, black, white, no matter what, that's all people really want. And I think the problem is, and I'm not going to go off on this too far, is that if we would all just focus on unity instead of celebrating diversity, we would have something really going. That's how I look at it. And I think that the politicians really want us divided, because then they don't have a job. If everybody was on the same side against them, they would be in a world of trouble.
Yeah.
If we were truly the United States of America, and we had like that sense of unity when we had their 9/11, if we had everybody on the same page, focusing on the same issues, these guys wouldn't know what to do.
Right.
These guys would not know what to do. If everybody, black, white, rich, poor, would sit there and say, listen, we just want a fair shake. We want a good paying job. We want a nice future for our family. We want to live in a safe world. We want peace. We want love. You know, then, you know, if those guys would be out of a job.
That's right.
Because everybody would be on the same page. Well, who am I going to? You know, but that's
thing,
why
one thing music can do is unite people that politics and whatever.
Yes.
Can't.
Yes. And that's why I stick where I'm at.
That's right.
Yeah. Harry George, why don't we all join hands and sing? Come on, Georgie. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Go on, George. Sing along. Jump in there.
All right. Let me tell you about some events that are coming up.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Why not?
Looking to see what, you know, what concerts were coming to both the theater, amphitheater, and Covelli.
Yeah.
So we got Skinner that's coming in July.
Okay, wait a minute. I have to correct you right off the bat. See, you never just say Skinner.
Skinner.
You never just go, oh, we have Skinner coming up. You always got to yell it. You know, you just don't say, hey, excuse me, sir, can you play Skinner? You just got to come out, Skinner! Skinner! That's how you got to do it. Nobody just goes, hey, do you have any Skinner in there? It's usually, play it next, asshole! Freebird! Freebird next! Turn this shit off and put on Freebird now! That's how you tell a good bar. Anyways, that's how I tell a good bar. Is, you know, I walk in, I just go right up to the front of the stage. If there's a band, if there's a DJ, and you get like 2 inches from their nose, and you just start yelling, Freebird! On top of your lungs. You know, and then I want to go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as being the guy that invented yelling out Freebird at the most inopportune time.
That's what I want that to be my claim.
The induction. Yes. Fred Wowick, the man who screams Freebird at any chance given.
Freebird! Freebird next!
And so he says, don't play Freebird.
You got to play Freebird. I'm the one that I my rule is if you yell it out, I'm playing it. Some people are like, oh, I'm not playing that stupid song again, but I got a lot of, you know, stories about Freebird that I could get into, but yeah. So, anyways, and then after, you know, then if they kick me out, then I know it's not the place I'm supposed to be in anyways.
Right.
If they play it, then you automatically follow that up with, see, this is a two-step process. You follow that up with skin to win, skin to win, skin to win. I know Harry George yells that one out. Yeah. Rosemarie, she knows Freebird's the best.
All right, so that's – thank you for the correction, but that's July 22nd. So
who's there?
Skinner! All right, September 15th, we got the Australian Pink Floyd show.
That's a great show. That's the closest to Floyd you're going to see.
And then October 8th, we got Travis Tritt and Chris Jansen.
Yep.
All right. And so that's at Covelli. Now let's see what's going off the amphitheater here.
By the way, I got to get Harry George in here. We got to talk about some of our
All right, then we got Luke Bryan. Let's see, Brett Eldridge, Lee Bryce. These are all amphitheater shows.
How about some rock and roll? I
don't see any there.
Well, you know what's tough at this time of year? Most of the rock acts are all booked up on these tours at Blossom and those places. So it's kind of hard to get the rock acts because they're booked in at what they call the sheds at this time of year. So all that's
right. And Robin's Theater. I'm going to look that up real quick and see what shows. Then you mentioned the what was coming here next?
Bat, the Meatloaf tribute tomorrow.
Meatloaf tribute, Bat. That's right.
Oh, they got Todd Rundgren coming up in July too. So that's going to be fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see.
For some reason, Northeast Ohio has embraced Todd Rundgren over the years. I don't think Todd Rundgren is as popular anywhere else in the world than he is in Northeast Ohio. For whatever reason, we just latched on to Todd Rundgren around here, and he probably in the last year, I know he played in Canton. I know he played in Cleveland a couple times. And, you know, then he played this past week, Monday night, this show should have had more people there than it did. It was called 50 Years Ago Today, and it was Todd Rundgren's all-star tribute to the Beatles albums Revolver and Rubber Soul. And the band was Todd Rundgren, and then the guy that was that's been the singer for modern-day Chicago after Peter Cetera left. So this guy, and then they had Denny Lane, who was a founding member of the Moody Blues and who was also a founding member of Wings with Paul McCartney. And then they had Joey Mulholland, who was the one of the guitar players for Badfinger, who also worked with the Beatles and George Harrison and Paul and Christopher Cross. And they did all these great Beatles songs. And then they all did some of their solo numbers and stuff. And for some reason, it didn't click. And I was bummed out I didn't get a chance to go, but I thought that would have been a phenomenal show. And the people that were there said it was. It just blew you away, you know? I mean, you have actual people that actually played with actual Beatles on the stage, you know? And so I would still like to see that show if it come around somewhere else, but unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to go. But Todd, he is just like, you know, Todd is God, man. I mean, I don't know how many times he played at the Tomorrow Club and yeah.
Got to get one of those.
Harry George says, we could talk about anything that the statute of limitations have run out on. That goes without saying. So we might only have to cut that show back to about an hour, but you know. Jaybird wants to know, how do I keep these facts straight? I think it's kind of like, you know, those are the only things that are in order in my brain. Anything else beyond that, forget, you know, but, you know, this kind of stuff for whatever is, you know.
20 minutes to find your car keys, but could tell you from the 1930s all the way up to modern.
Let me tell you what happened to me this week. You want to hear this?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I know Jay Bird heard this about five times. Hey, Jay Bird, let me tell you what happened to me and my phone. I had somebody pick up my phone by mistake twice in 1 week. Tuesday, I was at the Ice House, and I had it sitting there by my DJ stuff, and some guy picked it up accidentally, wink, wink, so he says, you know. And I always have the ringer turned off. So, you know, because if I'm recording, if I'm on the air, we're doing an interview and stuff, I always have it turned off. So everybody's trying to call it. I'm searching high and low. Everybody, I'm not even paying attention to what I'm doing there because I'm like, where's my phone? Where's my phone? I'm just obsessed with that. You know, people are going through my car and, you know, I'm going through all my gig stuff. And finally, some guy comes by and goes, what are you guys doing? I said, I can't find my phone anywhere. We've been searching for a half hour. He goes, oh, I got mine right. Oh, is this yours?
Like, what?
Yeah. You know? And he picked it up. I guess he had his phone sitting there and he picked it up by mistake. And then I was down at that mixer for the United Way Bass Classic down at Birdfish. Have you ever been to Birdfish?
I have. That place is freaking awesome.
Holy cow. I've never been there before. It is jamming. Yep. I thought it was going to be some kind of little hole in the wall place.
No way.
I come pulling up there and you had to park a block away. And a Friday night, it was jamming. Yep. And it was a good vibe and a lot of fun. And so next thing you know, I'm walking out and my son gets a call and he goes, hey, you got to meet Ricky down at 46 and 11. He's parked on the side of the road. He picked up your phone before he left. I'm like,
it's twice.
Twice in 1 week.
Dang. Well, I'm not blaming you for this.
No,
the sticky finger people.
Yeah. Yeah. I think somebody's trying to see all these crazy pictures that I might have in this phone.
Uh-huh.
See all these contacts and stuff.
You have some protections that if someone did hijack it, you could like find it, get it back and whatever.
Oh no, you got to tell me about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. After the show, we'll
also yeah. Play. Okay. I might.
You ever see those videos where they electrify it and these people run it away with get zapped when
that has to be great.
So good.
Well, that's like that one guy that got the porch pirate with some kind of shock bomb or something. And the guy went running down the street and next thing you know, boom. Ah!
Yep.
Love it. And then I think the guy said, what'd you do that for, man? Why'd you have to do that for? Yeah, I was bringing it back.
Yeah, okay. I was just watching it for you.
Yeah, that's what I think happened with my phone. But, you know, if Jay Bird didn't steal my phone by now or Sap Dog or some of those other lowlifes out there, you know, I figured my phone would be safe.
They might be looking out for you. They might be keeping an eye out.
Yeah, just waiting for the right opportunity. So that's what we got going on there. I don't know. You ready to wrap it up?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Yeah, we will definitely have Harry George on here to talk about all things criminal and motorcycle related and, you know, wet t-shirt contest and things along those lines. And I think that's about it. So next week we're off. Next week we'll be over at Quaker Steak and Lube in Austintown for our bike night. And then if that does not get rained out, then on the 25th, 26th, whatever that Thursday is, we'll be here with Father Jimmy, the rock and roll priest, and JT, oldies expert extraordinaire. And we're trying to get somebody from the band, the Buckinghams, on, and, you know, a couple of doo-wop guys and people that, you know, were big there in the, you know, early 60s, 64, 65, and maybe even the pre-British invasion and stuff. So we'll have some pretty cool people on. I like I say, I just love to hear these old timers with their stories. They're just so great. And I guess that's about it. So I'll catch you tomorrow afternoon at 3 on Y103. Tomorrow's our last chance to win tickets to see Sammy Hagar and George Thorogood at Blossom. That show's next Thursday, too. So that's what we got going on. So thanks, Joe. Good to see you. Harry George and Sue and Sap Dog and Jay Bird and Keith Sturgeon and everybody else that checked in here. Thank you guys. And we'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about it.